the land was preached to them, it was a good land. Enter that land. Joshua stood at the border of the land. He threw up his arms and he said, come, children of Israel, enter the land. Well, if we who have believed enter that rest, Psalm 95 has been saying, today, if you will hear his voice, he quotes again, don't harden your hearts. That was the issue. Today, if you will hear and believe, listen to me, you've entered. You've already entered. That's an awesome claim.
And that is the claim we're exploring today here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Welcome to the program. We are back in Hebrews chapter 4, looking at verses 1 through 11, and this rest that we are called to enter into. You have a life of anxiety. Today's program is designed and tailor-made for you. Won't you join us? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon as we continue in Hebrews 4 on Abounding Grace.
One of the things that Hebrews does that's remarkable is he never places that burden individually. He places that burden on the whole church. He's having us enter into the concern of this for those who are not entering. Remember, he already encouraged us to consider how to stir up. We'll get there. One another to love and good works. It's a community. It's a community of faith. You're never alone in this. And the Lord sees all of us as together helping and encouraging, but really concerned about any who aren't entering. Let us fear, he says. Let us tremble. If there's any among us who have not entered this rest, what's he concerned with? Well, what has this book shown us? There's this general attitude to God and his word that the author knows is completely unacceptable in the community. There's a quality of response to the word of God that the author is after here. Being saved is not just coming to hear sermons. Being saved is not looking for the great worship experience. Being saved is mixing what you're hearing with faith. He's after faith. He's after trust. His son came from heaven to die on a cross. Do you know what that cost? Do you know what that cost? If all this good news that we hear is not mixed with faith, just like them, you will not enter heaven. That's what he's saying here. This is serious stuff. That's why worship is serious. It's not a show. Psalm 95, as I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. But here it's as if the promise of the gospel is completely renewed. That's what I love about this passage. Today. Hear that. Hear the happiness in he's saying this. Today. Enter his rest. Now that's why this concept of rest is so important. We have to explore it just for a minute here. The land of Canaan that he was speaking of here was a type of the rest he's talking about. What was the land of Canaan? Well, it was a land of milk and honey. It was a land intended to bring happiness. It was a land intended to bring fulfillment. It was a land intended to bring provision and freedom from all enemies and peace. And even though Israel didn't wipe out their enemies, the last day shows us in Revelation what the fulfillment of what that land is to be, where there's nothing evil that ever offends the land in the land again. So the land of Canaan was intended to teach us something about rest, about our internal inheritance, about as a type and shadow of the rest that God has for us. After coming out of the pilgrimage, after coming out of the struggle, do you know what's held out for you? I mean, that's what's so remarkable about this passage. But there's one thing, as I've never really spent much time in this passage at all, that struck me that I couldn't get away from this week. There's something shocking that's said here. Shock us. It's not shocking if you know what the scriptures show, but it's amazing how in our dullness, we don't see things. Now I'm talking about me. Verse 3. For we who have believed will enter that rest. It's not what it says. For we who have believed enter that rest. That's present. It's a present in the verb. His concern here is this. The author wants everyone to enter today. This is a plea. As last time, you know, we don't know hearts. We don't know hearts, do we? It's very possible that in a large congregation like this, some have not yet entered. It's all shown in your attitude to God's word and worship. You remember, Israel was never satisfied with either God or his worship. Doesn't that say something about how we need to guard our hearts on this? That's how the author's speaking here. Let us fear, whole community. Tremble at this idea and help your brethren. Because here's the marvel of the text. He's not saying you have to wait whether you're going to get to glory and know. That's the beauty of this. He is saying today you can enter the rest. That's got to be the most encouraging passage and one of the most encouraging passages in the Bible, beloved. We who have believed, what is belief? It's hearing God's word. It's loving that word. It's embracing the truth of the gospel. It's trusting in God through his word. And he's saying, when we who have believed, you enter. You enter. What has he been telling us to do the whole time? What do we enter? What do you mean we enter? That doesn't. I don't feel like I've entered anything. Really? What has he been saying the whole time? Consider Jesus, the high priest and apostle of our confession. Jesus is the good news. So in other words, the land was preached to them. It was a good land. Enter that land. Joshua stood at the border of the land. He threw up his arms and he said, come, children of Israel, enter the land. Well, if we who have believed enter that rest, Psalm 95 has been saying, today if you will hear his voice, he quotes again, don't harden your hearts. That was the issue. Today if you will hear and believe, listen to me, you've entered. You've already entered. That's an awesome claim. How do I express that? Boys and girls, years ago I was at a Sunday school, fifth grade. Do you guys get excited about Sunday school? I don't know if you do, but you should. Fifth grade Sunday school, Hanford Christian Reformed Church. Still remember Mr. Grunenberg. And you forget about these teachers that teach you, you know. I remember he looked at me. He didn't know I was going to be a pastor, you know. He's a little renegade sitting there in front of him. He said, Chris, do you know that today you can know you're going to be saved? Now, I don't think I've ever remembered anything from any of my Sunday school classes. But I remember that. Do you know that today you can know? He's pleading with them. You can enter right now Canaan. That's what Psalm 95 was talking about, the day. The eternal rest with the coming of Jesus has broken into the present. That's his whole point. It's an already not yet dynamic. The eternal rest has broken into the present. Jesus is Canaan. When Joshua stood up and said, enter, come, the land is good. What do you think Jesus was doing when he put up his arms and said, come to me and I'll give you rest. I'm your Canaan. I'm your land. I'm your happiness. I'm your fulfillment. Enter me. No one makes it to glory except through entering through him. And I think what's on the author's mind is for us to appreciate how wonderful that rest is today. He makes the point in verse 3. We who have believed enter that rest. And then notice the encouragement of this. He ties it to creation. Although God's works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. What's so unique about the seventh day of creation? There's no morning and evening. All the other days, morning and evening, it was the fourth day, fifth day. God rested, and he entered in that enthronement, in that glory of rest, the glory and power and honor, holding the destiny of everyone in his hands. The point is, the goal of all salvation in coming to Jesus is that you would enjoy rest in him today. Now, that's what God has intended for you, that you can have that. You see why he's pleading. Therefore, it remains for some to enter. There were those who heard the gospel. They heard all this good news. They really didn't have any care to hear it. It wasn't in the heart. It wasn't believed. And he's saying, are you crazy? Today, if you'll hear his voice, don't harden. See, we can harden your heart. Enjoy your rest. What is that rest? Well, I think the Heidelberg says it beautifully. All the days of my life, I rest from my evil works and let the Lord, listen to this, work in me through his Holy Spirit and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Where do I start? That's wonderful. What is it worth to know? You want to know what rest is like, enjoying it? You'll know by your response to this. What is it worth to know all your sins are forgiven? What's it worth to you? Does that not give you joy inexpressible and fullness of joy? What's it worth to already know God loves you and you don't have to wait around to figure it out? What's it worth to know there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? What's it worth? What's it worth that you don't have to work for your salvation? Somebody already did. What's it worth to know that he tests you in the wilderness, hard as it may be, and that he's not against you, but that your very maker who has entered into his rest and is bringing you into his rest is absolutely committed to refine you and test you and conform you to make you like his son? What's it worth? What's it worth to know that you have so much purpose and meaning and value to him that he has numbered the very hairs of your head and doesn't let one drop without the will of your Father in heaven? What's it worth? What's it worth to know he's given you everything? And that you belong to him in body and soul. And that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. What's that worth? You see, only the hardest of hearts could not enter into that kind of rest. Or play games with him. I know it's probably not a direct implication of this text, and I know people have run with it this way, but it is an implication to say that this is exactly why he gave the fourth commandment. He gave the fourth commandment, a day of rest, so that we would have a joyful celebration together of the gospel and that we would get to enjoy one another and worship the Lord and receive his word. Yeah, it's wilderness. There's no doubt. We're not there yet. We're not living by sight. We're going to see awesome things in glory. It's faith. But this is a day of celebration and joy and gladness where the Holy Spirit specially works in your hearts when you gather around his word. And you get to enjoy your people who you're going to spend eternity with in fellowship and in love and service, knowing that you're doing it under the Lord. What has been our attitude to the whole Sabbath principle in this country? Terrible. We have hard hearts to it. We've called it a burden and not a delight. Our biggest challenge is to get hard hearts to appreciate that this day declares that we have already entered by faith our eternal rest. It's meant to be a festive day for you to stop all the burdens and stresses of the world and all think of all the complications you're going to go face this week. And he says, sons and daughters, stop, cease, calm down. Receive my word. Hear the gospel. I've got good news for you. But the author says in conclusion here that we who have already entered have so much more to look forward to. Joshua didn't give them rest. Did you notice that? This is a pun here. Yeshua did, not Joshua. Verse 8. And all of that was intended to speak to the final enjoyment of the rest that's coming on the last day. When we enter glory forever, it's already, but it's not yet. And that's what he says. Notice here, because Jesus has come, God ultimately was speaking of another day later on, verse 9, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did. How do you talk about what's coming? A grand reunion in glory with all the saints. I can't imagine walking in. There's Abraham, you know. I want to talk to that guy. There's Moses. There's David. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man with a golden crown on his head. You're going to get to see Jesus. The beatific vision, as we call it, is our hope. You've entered him today. You get to see him in fullness on that day. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. It's this promise of the final rest that awaits us. And beloved, it's a lot closer than you think. You could die tonight. It's a rest of no more sorrow. The rest of no more tears. Complete happiness in a brand new heavens and earth. Don't you know yet what's held out for you? Or are we still so caught up living for this world we can't even contemplate it? When you have Jesus, you've already entered it. And the certainty is the hope of glory forever. Now, do you see why he's concerned? You see why a pastor would be concerned? We have to preach these things to ourselves, and we have to preach them to people. How does he end? With a great therefore. Therefore, let us strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience that Israel did. Wouldn't it be sad if somebody sat here for 50 years listening to sermons and didn't enter the rest? What does your heart toward God say about your position before him? Are you still outside the kingdom? Or have you come? Have you believed? I've often thought that one of the greatest problems in the American church is we're so much like Israel. We've been hardened and uninterested in his word. And that's what people base their attendance of church on. What kind of show am I going to get today? That's not entering his rest. This is why we've had worship wars. because we don't accept the pilgrimage. The struggle, the hardship is real. And this is not about making it as exciting as we possibly can. It's about hearing the gospel and entering the rest. And the Spirit pleads with you today. Set aside all the nonsense today. Are you hearing the voice? It's not a game. Confess your sins to Him. What does He say? I will abundantly pardon them. And when you believe, you enter a secured rest that remains. That's why holding fast to Jesus is so important. Rest in His Word. Don't doubt His promise that is preached to you, good news that's preached to you. For the Lord God is a sun and shield to us. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Today, let us hear His voice and enter His rest. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. What a splendid text. And what hope You give us. And it's so comforting to know that when we are on our deathbeds, we will not have to sit there and figure out whether God loves us, but that today we can know. So may we all enter that rest today. And let us have a heart that loves Your Word and loves You and is not bitter at You or despising You for testing us in the wilderness, but knows You have a good plan for us. You know the plans You have for us. Plans to bless and not harm. And so, O Lord, may we trust You. And may we enjoy this rest today. What's it worth? It was worth the very death of Your Son to give us this kind of peace and joy. So may we enter it, love it, and enjoy the rest that awaits us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, you have been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. If you have questions or comments about the program, maybe you would like to learn more about who we are, well, you're more than welcome to visit our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. If you have questions, well, address them to questions@agradio.org, and we'll have Pastor Chris answer them as best we can. We may even put it on the air. Again, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. Now, at that website, you will also find a few links to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Follow us on any of those platforms that you frequently visit. And again, you can also listen to past programs as you visit agradio.org. Well, tomorrow we will continue our exploration of the book of Hebrews as we return to chapter 4, looking at verses 12 through 14, God's sword of rest or wrath. Here's Pastor Chris with a sneak peek.
We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. Listen, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then draw near. That means that verse 3 is telling us very clearly, you can enter that rest right now. Let us then draw near to Him, to your rest. Draw near to your rest, to the throne of grace. And what will He do for you? You're going to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You all in time of need? I figure everyone has a time of need. Some of you are in a lot of need. And your sympathetic high priest extends His arms. And He says, I'll help you. And I'm refining you. And I'm testing you to trust My Word. That's the beauty of what He's doing. And He endured these sorrows for you. He wants you. He's not disconnected. He's not someone who doesn't understand. He's not someone that can't relate. He became one of us. And whatever tests and trials, even where you failed, even the sins you did this week that you're ashamed of. I have grace for your time of need.
Real encouragement in store for you tomorrow here on Abounding Grace. Join us then. And until tomorrow, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.